Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
We're in a series right now on filters. And we are in what I call edition four, or week four, or part four, about talking about mental filters. And let me explain to you what a mental filter is real quick. A mental filter is a term that is used to describe a cognitive distortion. And we're showing you a picture right now on the screen of how it works. If you look at the left side, you'll see that the original picture is blue and colorful, and then the filter causes us to see the same picture in a different way. Not a different picture, same picture. See the same thing, but we see it completely different. And in the same way as the picture that you're looking at, when our minds are out of alignment with God's thoughts, we accumulate in the filter of our mind limiting, sometimes toxic, unhealthy distortions that affect our outlook on life. So when that happens, we see ourselves different than God sees us. We see other people different than God sees them. We see friendship different. We see sex different. Marriage different. Work different. Children. Oh, come on, all you parents, I know you don't always feel like that child is a blessing from heaven, an angel with a halo over their head. There are moments, right? There are moments, right? Where something else is in the filter. And what do? You got to change the filter. But it's in that moment that you see something, not as it really is, but how you see it in the moment, because of what's in your filter at that moment. The baby hasn't let you sleep the last 3 days. The baby is burping up all the time. Like you are crazy out of your mind because of this child that will not obey. And then you go, a child is a blessing from the Lord. Thank you, God, for my children. And you know, you get it all straightened out. But what I want to say to you today is that whenever stuff gets in the filter, our lives get stuck, and we stop growing, we stop making progress, and we stop moving forward in our own lives. I want to read to you out of the verse Ephesians 4:23. It says, be continually renewed. Be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. Having a fresh, somebody shout fresh. Somebody shout untarnished. So the writer here, the Apostle Paul, is talking about our attitude. And he's reminding us that it doesn't stay fresh on its own. That it has to continually be renewed. And this is repeated in Scripture. Romans chapter 12 says something very similar. It uses the same wording, renewing it. It says, don't be conformed or be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't happen on its own. You have to be intentional about changing the filters. So today I want to elaborate, talk a lot about how your mental filters are going to hold you back or move you forward. And I want to begin by just using our church as an example for you today. I've pastored here in the Northwest over 30 years, and every step of progress that we have taken as a church has always required us to adjust and change the mindset, the filters that we have settled into. And some faulty filters that I've identified, I'm just going to share a few with you really quick, on our journey as a church. And you've seen progress, and if you know our history, you know that God has brought us a long way. And we are so thankful that God has continued to be, His hand is on our church. But it scares me when I think that anywhere along the way we could have got stuck if we would have not changed some filters. And any thinking that causes us to settle where we are is a faulty filter. And that's the first thing that we have realized as a church, that any filter that has caused us to settle where we are is a faulty filter. That we might be comfortable and we might get cozy and we might like our church like it is. And I promise you, 15 years ago, there were people who really liked it just like it was. And then we started messing with it, like adding more services. And then adding more locations. And, you know, just shifting and changing. But we realized that we had to believe that God has more for us. And that where we are, no matter how cozy it is not where we will be. And any filter who causes us to assume we can freeze the frame is a faulty filter that will hold us back from the progress and the growth that God has planned for us. Second thing we realize is that any filter that keeps us thinking small is a faulty filter. So we've had to think bigger than Tacoma. We had to see Bellevue and other communities as being not too far away for us to build a campus, for us to embrace the community. And even now, when people come to our church in one of our locations, they often come with an idea that that other campus is halfway across the world. And it's always funny to me, you know, people think nothing of going to Seattle 5 days a week for work. And you know, and people think nothing, people that love God and want to spread the gospel, they'll get on planes and fly thousands of miles to do a mission trip. So our core team adopted the mindset that the distance between campuses is no problem compared to the opportunity it creates for us to move our mission forward. We just had to think bigger, and we couldn't allow ourselves to have a limited mindset. And if we would have, that filter would have stopped us. The third thing we realized, that any filter that makes us put our own comfort above our mission is a faulty filter. Any thought, any filter that would cause us to put comfort above our mission is a filter that needs to be changed. Our members have had to make the choice over the years to determine that comfort is way overrated. And the core of our church, who have been on the mission with us, have recognized that the goal is not comfort, and that people who have a goal of comfort are going to end up unhappy and unfulfilled. No matter who you are and where you are in life, you will end up unfulfilled if comfort is your goal. Stop and think about the people that you know comfort is their goal. Think about where they are in life. Think about they went to Hawaii to go surfing because they wanted, you know, or think about Lion King, where the two fat pigs, you know, are trying to talk Simba into the life. I'm out here on a limb right now. Somebody help me out. Hakuna Matata. Like, no. Go with us, like Hakuna Matata. Everybody who goes after that ends up unfulfilled and unhappy in their life. Comfort is not the goal. It's way overrated. Way overrated. So then you add to that little components like our members have had to embrace video messages as being a viable option to receive the weekend message. And when we started using video messages, some people really struggled to see, they just saw the message presented on video for the weekend as being inferior message. And when I would say to them, why do you feel that way? You know, they're like, I don't like that video stuff. Like, I like you in the building. I like you. And I'm like, why do you feel that way? Is it inferior? Well, they could never explain, like, why they didn't like it, other than they just like me in the building. They like me physically there on stage. And they wanted me in the service that they were in. So filters had to get changed. Filters had to get changed. Anyone coming along with us had to shift out of those filters so that we could make progress. Because on the other hand, the upside is tremendous. With video messages, we can have as many services and as many communities as we can get in every weekend, and we can do it at the same time. Places where I cannot be physically to speak, I can be there. And I can bring the same message. And people can have the same liberating word of God. And people can learn. People can grow. And people can actually see my eyes better if it's on video. If it's on a big screen. Like, it mean. And what does that mean? That means more people can be reached. More people can be helped. More people can be blessed. More people can be saved. Like, when you think about it all, like this weekend, there are people who are watching our message all over the world, and some of them are, you know, they're out of town on business. Some of them are in the military, and they're out on a boat. We got a picture literally this morning from someone in the military who's out in another country who's watching our service this weekend and joining us because we changed the filter. And another quick thing, like, we can hear weekend messages from some of our friends in ministry who we love their ministry and we love their teaching, we love their preaching, and they don't even have to leave their services to be here with us and to preach to us. So there's so much upside. But the point I'm making is that we had always filtered church through the one location filter. But to move church forward, we've had to change filters so that God could continue to do His work and expand our reach and our influence on people's lives. And what I'm saying, it's no different in your own life than it is with us as a church. If you want to experience growth and if you want to experience progress, you're going to have to change the filters continually. I said, you're going to have to change the filters continually. You're going to have to let go of thoughts and attitudes that you have had so that God can do something new in your life. You just can't keep moving forward with the same thinking. The thinking that got you here won't get you there. And people get stuck every day, and many stay there for years with the same kind of thought that they don't want to let go. You can make progress, you can have progress, or you can have excuses, but you can't have both. I'm getting ready to really talk to you now. I'm getting ready to get into where you live. Are you open to that? I said you can have progress and you can have excuses, but you cannot have both. Somebody say, I love you, Pastor. I love you. Somebody say, bring it on, Pastor. I will. Thank you very much for your support. John chapter 5, Verse 6, one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? Do you want to be well? It almost seems like a ridiculous question until you hear the man's response. I can't. And then he started on his excuses. I have nobody to help me out in the pool and the water bubbles up. You can go read the story if you don't understand that, what it's all about later. Somebody else is always getting ahead of me. I can't. The healer of all mankind, who had been working miracles, even in the last few days, is 3 feet away. And that man's filter is causing him to see circumstances as being in control of his life. If you're taking notes, I've got two major sentences I'm going to ask you to write down. And this is the first one. Any filter that causes you to empower circumstances is a faulty filter. Any filter that causes you to empower circumstances is a faulty filter. So his faulty filter was that he was held back by his circumstances over which he had no control. You cannot control circumstances, but you can control your response to circumstances. You cannot control circumstances, but you can control your attitude regardless of the circumstances. So he believed that there was nothing he could do, so he did nothing. He took no initiative, no individual responsibility for his life, which is why, because Jesus knew this. He didn't just meet the man that day. He knew. So he was going through the file of his history, and the first thing he wants to know is, do you want to be well? Do you want to get better? Why the question? Why? Because everybody doesn't want to get well. I said everybody doesn't want to get better. If you haven't recognized this, please hear me out. A lot of people are stuck where they are, and they don't really want to get beyond where they are, because where they are brings them attention. Where they are gives them a story to tell. Where they are is not just something that they can, you know, deal with on their own. It's something that they can talk to everyone about. And without telling everybody how bad it is and how horrible it is and why I can't get better and all the reasons why I'm where I am. Like, if without that, they have nothing to talk about, because that has become their communication. That has become their sweet spot. That has become their comfort zone. They lay down on that pillow, and that feels really, really good to them. And Jesus just wanted to know, do you really want to be well? See, Jesus wanted him to do something. Jesus wanted him to do everything that he could do and keep doing it instead of believing that there was nothing he could do. Oh my goodness, we have so many people in society right now who, if they just would stand up, they could stand up. If they would. If they would, they could. If they would, they could. Like people who are saying, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like. There's all this verbiage. You haven't been where I've been. You've never gone through what I've gone through. And that's the verbiage. That's the dialogue of someone who is empowering the circumstances. And I want to challenge somebody this weekend that God wants to help you. And God is your helper. And God is your strength. And God is ready to move you forward. Come on, He is ready. And I don't know if you've ever tried to help somebody like that, but if you have, then you understand what I'm talking about right now. You can have progress or excuses, but you cannot have both. I remember talking to a woman who insisted that she just could not lose weight. Said she really wanted to. Said she realized that it was wrecking her body. It was messing up her future. But she told me about all the diets that she tried and how they didn't work for her. And because I, years ago, lost 60 pounds and have kept it off, thank God, for all these years, I lean into people who deal with obesity and addictions to food and sugar and all of that. And I have a heart for people who are trapped in that. And young people who are like only 14, 15, and they already have the mindset, I just can't, you know, my dad was this way, my mom was that way, my genes are this way. Like, I can't give up Coca-Cola, soda pop, I can't do it. I love Oreo cookies. People are... And I listened to her describe what she saw as legitimate reasons why each of those programs would not work for her. I walked away sad. I was sad for her because I realized that she had bought into the propaganda. I realized that she had bought into the lies. Now, you can make this really light, or you can even dig down a little bit deeper if you want to dig with me a little bit deeper. Jesus said that Satan is a liar. He is a father of all lies. And he doesn't need to tell you new lies if he can just keep you believing the old lies. And he can take your life down a different path than where you really want to go if you buy into the propaganda, if you buy into the dialogue, if you buy into the narrative. He can keep you headed in the direction. The Bible says he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think he does it in any way that he can. Pastor Kevin, do you really believe that? Like somebody having a hard time? Yes, I do. Somebody being addicted to food? Yes, I do. It will destroy a person's life. People die before their time. I'm not here to be your dietitian today. But I'm here to tell you and give you some examples. That on that day, I realized when I walk away that her story had become the story of her life. And there was no help for her as long as that was her story. I quit trying to help people who won't help themselves. Not because I want to be mean, but because I realize it's a waste of my time, my energy, their energy. If Jesus is that way, who am I to think that I can do something for somebody that won't take a step for themselves? And that's how Jesus is. Jesus is saying he will not override a person's will who is adamant about, I can't, you stay with your story and it becomes the story of your life. And your future doesn't change until your filter changes. Man, I'm in it today. I hope you got your seatbelt buckled because I'm going with truth right now. God called me to be a preacher. And I do my best with that. One of the challenges for me all along the way, more so in my past than my present, but I am naturally introverted, which means that People drain me. And I'm uncomfortable with too much interaction, especially small talk, social interaction, etc. It just drains me. And so I've had to stretch myself over and over again to do what I'm meant to do. And thank God for a great wife whose name is Sheila, who has a high I personality, meaning she is charged up by connecting with people. Like her battery goes up, mine goes down. Thank God he matches us up perfectly, right? But way back in the day when I'm a young guy and I'm governed by that, and we would get in the car after, you know, a gathering, or I just walked through a group of people, and she would say, "That's not cool." "What's not cool?" "What you just did. You're rude." "Come on, you know I'm not rude." "Yeah, but you look rude. You look mean. You look like you don't care. You look like careless. You can't do that and do what you're supposed to do. You're a leader. You're a man of God. You got to be kind. I mean, smile. Stretch out a hand. Give somebody a high five. Hug their neck. Bless them." And I can go, yeah, but. Or I can go, "You're right. I got to get uncomfortable in order to do what I'm supposed to do. I have to embrace the discomfort of something that is not easy for me so that I can go where God wants me to go, so that I can grow like God wants me to grow, so that I can make progress like God wants me to make progress. Even this past Thursday night, we were wanted at an event. It was in Southern California. Many of you know the A21 organization, Chris Kane. We support it. We're part of all of that. And they wanted us there. And it was a few hundred people, invite only, social kind of gathering. They wanted to celebrate the people who support their ministry. It was a great cause. They wanted to give us updates, show us all the stuff they're doing around the world. And I was already in Southern California speaking at a conference and an event, and so it's like there was no way for me to like just say, "Well, I can't go." Like that, there was no way to do that. So I went, and I didn't take a jacket to wear, and I knew like they some folks have jackets, and my wife is my wife is all along the way. She's like saying, "So you know, are you gonna act like that? Are you gonna be that, or are you gonna man up?" And so I bought a jacket, and I went, and I had a great pastor friend who knows me, and he knows this about me, and he's texting me in the afternoon, "Yeah, you're coming. I got you, man. I'm with you, man. We'll limit the conversations to what you can handle, like, I'll move you along, like, come on." I had a little cheering section. I'm just trying to share with you and be honest and be open. There's not always going to be easy. And you're gonna have to get uncomfortable. And God's going to stretch you out of your comfort zone. And God's going to ask you and invite you and welcome you into some things that are not going to be easy for you to do. But it's going to take that if you really want to grow and make progress in your life. In fact, let me just ask you, let me pause and not talk about me right now and not talk about the woman who I used as an illustration or the man in the Bible. Let me talk about you for a minute. What is it that you're not comfortable with? But it's essential for you to grow and make progress and move your life forward. What is it? I'm here to remind you today that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the circumstance or the dilemma or the anxiety or the worry. I'm here to remind you today that you were born with a purpose and for a purpose, and that God's not finished with you yet. And whatever it is, that you are an overcomer. And in all things, Romans 8:37, The Apostle Paul said, in all things, we are more than conquerors. Through him, we are more. We are here to overcome. Come on, we are here to move forward. We are here to make progress. We're not here to be comfortable. Come on, we are here to make the devil mad. We are here to fulfill our purpose on the planet. And the Apostle Paul said, I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other thing in all of creation has the power to separate us from the love of God, from the power of God, from the grace of God, from the purpose of God, from the plan of God. Come on, somebody ought to clap your hands in victory right now. Think about who you are. Think about who you are. Here's the other thing. Just take a note real quick or have a look at it. Any filter that causes you to hold others responsible for your life is a faulty, messed up filter. Nobody else is responsible for your happiness or your success in any area of your life. So you got to stop it. You got to stop empowering the people of your past. You got to stop empowering the people that you work with. You got to stop empowering the people that you know did you wrong. You got to stop saying things like, well, if they would put in a word for me, if they would support me, if they would open a door for me, if they, or if I had more opportunity, like if I was a man and not a woman, if I was older, if I was younger, if my skin were a different color, if I was born in a different, you got to stop it. Every time you talk like that, you are empowering other people. And then we do that even with God. If God would do more of what I need him to do, if he would answer this prayer instead of the ones I'm not even praying about, if they would, and when people do this, they give their power away. And they create self-imposed limits on their life. And they are limited now by a faulty filter. A faulty filter. It all comes back to a faulty filter. The belief that someone else is the problem. Someone else is the reason why. Can I nudge you a little bit? There's people that even right now, here's a common one. Some people have a limited number of friends, same friends, and every time the friend pool starts to grow, they manage to shrink it back down. But in their mind, there's nothing they can do. It's other people. It's other people. Other people don't reach out to me. Other people don't call me. Other people don't, they don't invite me to lunch. Other people are cliquish. They're cliquish. If people weren't so cliquish. If you know what the church did to me, like you would understand why. Like I don't get in a small group and I don't hang out with people and I don't know because. Other people don't accept me just like I am. If you don't accept me just like I am, I'm not changing anything for anybody. That's a lie. That's the stupidest thing you can say. I've changed a lot of things to have the wife that I have. I'm willing to adjust for the people that belong in my life. And some people, literally, here's one for you. Some people, you need to give up the people that are in your life right now so the better people that God has for you can actually come into your life. They can't come until the other people leave. So you have a choice. You can either size all that up and be a loner the rest of your life, or you can grab hold of the opportunity God's given to you. And you can stop applying the blame. You can stop playing the victim game. You can shut all of that off, change the filter. You know, this is amazing. Here as a pastor, people come into our church every weekend and they grade us. They grade us. And then all week they talk about the grade they gave us. Like, you know, they don't really say it like that, but, you know, I give them a 5. If that church would, if that they would, if that pastor would, 5. I give them an 8, I give them 6, I give them a 2. It's really weak what they do, it's really weak what they... And it's amazing to me that those people, like, don't realize that I'm sitting out, all of your eyes are on me right now, even through the camera, even at wherever you are, the service you're at, and you're grading. Many of you are grading, and you flip into grading. And it never dawns on a person that I literally could grade you back. And if I did that, I probably wouldn't show up. Because when you're saying what I am or what grade you want to give me, if I go there, I give some of you a 0. I give some of you a 2. I give some of you a 1.5 and a 3/4. Like, you are not the kind of person that I want a whole bunch of in my church. But it never dawns on that person who is judging and grading that, you know what, I have more power than I actually think I do. Like, I could lean in and I could literally be a person who makes our church better. Like, if you think our church isn't friendly, hello, there you go. Go to the door, get in the parking lot, get your smile on. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but I am hoping I can deliver you some really raw, real truth so that you realize the filters that we get stuck into. And if you stay there, your life will never make progress and you'll never grow. I really believe that people who find a way to blame people, you know, friends or whatever, that they should do this, they should do that, if they were nice, if they were friendly, if Jesus were to run into that person today, he would say to them, do you want to have friends? Do you want to? Do you really, or do you just say that? Do you want a growing group of friends and positive relationships? Or do you want to stay with the unhealthy, limited few you're really comfortable being around? Because they share your biases and they share your views and you all kind of get together and do this. Do you want stronger people? Do you want healthier people in your life? Do you want people who will challenge you to go higher? Like, do you really want that? I think that's what Jesus would say to all of us in different areas of our life this weekend, is he would say, you do have the power. I've given you the power. And you can make some choices to change some filters. And you can change, when you change the filter, you can change your life. When you change the filter, you change your life. When you change the future, or the filter, you change your life. You change your future. Amen? Say this with me, no weapon. Say it out loud, no weapon. Formed against me will prosper. I'm an overcomer. I'm a champion. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot be held back unless I choose to. I can move forward when I decide to. I can grow. I'm created to grow. I can make progress. Because I can literally do all things through Christ. I'm an overcomer. Come on, I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm from above and not beneath. Nothing is bigger on the outside than the God who is on the inside. of my life. Come on, let's celebrate the Lord right now. Let's celebrate His Word. It's going to be a good week. I said it's going to be a good week. Come on, I said it's going to be a good week. While you stand to your feet, today is different. I'm so excited about what we're about to do. But I want to take a minute and I want to explain to you that there are some of you who are here. This is your day for a new beginning in one of two ways. Number one, it could be your day to just say yes to Christ and to make a decision. I'm going to be a Christ follower. It doesn't matter what others are doing. It doesn't matter about my path. I'm deciding today, and I will not leave here like I came. I'm going to make that decision to follow Jesus. And there are other people here today who did not plan to be baptized. We have a whole bunch of people scheduled. They're on the schedule. They went online. They made the schedule. They're ready to go. But there are people in the room today. Every service we've had all weekend, this has happened. There are people in the room who, when you came to church today, you were not planning on being baptized. But there are people in the room right now who are at a place and an opportunity to make a decision. And I want to ask you, if you've not been baptized, why not today? Why not now? Like, what would stop you? I love the story. There was an Ethiopian man riding in a chariot with a guy named Philip in the Bible. And they came, you know, he was explaining to him baptism. And they got near a little pond. And the man that wanted to be baptized saw the pond. He says, hey, here's some water. What would hinder me? Let's do it right now. I love that attitude. And there's people this weekend who you didn't plan on getting baptized, but it is your time. And there's something happening in you. There's something that even now as I talk about, a little bit of fluttering going on, and you're like, yeah, I want to be baptized, or I want to be rebaptized. And if that's you today, we're going to, in a few minutes, we'll explain more to you. I just want you right now to join us in a word of prayer. And here's what I want to ask you today. If, first of all, if you want a new beginning in your relationship with God, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with us. And then secondly, if you're saying yes to baptism today, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with us. I'm going to invite you to not put it off, not wait till next week. I'm going to ask you to be bold. I'm going to ask you to have courage. I'm going to ask you to maybe, if you're a football fan, give up a quarter. Can we talk real? Like, you know, that would be just like God for an avid football fan to be here watching the clock, and then it's like I bring this up, and God's going, hey, what's up? Jesus or football? Like, baptism or? I'm just saying. If that's you, how about you join me in this prayer? Let's all say it together. In fact, raise a hand or two up in the air. Say with me, Lord Jesus, welcome to my world. I invite you right now into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and make me a new person. I receive you today as the leader, as the Lord of my life. I will not be held back. With your help right now, I'm going to move forward. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer for one of those two decisions, why don't you triumphantly, boldly, courageously, just throw a hand up in the air right now. One, two, three, up in the air right now. People being baptized. Come on, people be, hold it up, hold it up, hold it up. We want to celebrate new beginnings in the house. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.